use for a quick flash of heat as you're making your stone pizza in your oven. Quick flash of heat and boom, there it is. But I want you to know something. I care for you. In the midst of what we see going on in the world around us right now, we got to come back to our God and realize He cares for me. Because He promised it. He promised it. But as we go on in verses 29 and 30, excuse me, not COVID. 29 and 30, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. The sovereign Father knows my need. All of a sudden we have now, all of a sudden, a change in the descriptor of the God of the universe. And when it says, God knows you have these needs, it is the God. Theos and the definite article before it. And now all of a sudden, Jesus gets intimate. He says something about this. And I put it here, the sovereign Father knows my needs. Not now is He God that's up there, and we know that He's up there. We know He's in the heavens. We know He created the universe. He says, now I want you to know something. Dad knows your needs. I don't say that in a sacrilegious way. He looks at these verses here, and we look at this, and all these things does your Father know? You seek, and you're looking at it and finding it here, and He says, don't be of a doubtful mind. The nations seek after these things, but your Father knows. Your Father knows. And that's an interesting word there. There's a couple different words in the original language that deal with the idea of knowing something. There's one that deals with the idea of what's in my brain. Okay, I saw it, understand it, read it in a book, know it. That's not this word. This is a word that means to perceive with the senses. Perceive with the senses. Eyes. Ears. Taste, I don't know. And it says this. God knows because He's watching. The sovereign Father knows because He's listening. The sovereign Father knows because He's there. And when we watch what's happening around us right now, we need to come back and we need to start to take this angst that we feel and this and some of this stress that people are feeling as we watch things and that things that are happening around us and begin to say, come on, Lord, I come back to You and I ask You and I know that, and we begin to calm our hearts and our souls and our minds. While on vacation, I was there, and one morning I woke up early and I was praying for the church and praying for the people around and the nation and things of that sort. And all of a sudden, I began to find my stomach start to get a knot in it. Oh, Lord, that's not why I'm on vacation. I said, Lord, give me peace here in my heart and take the knot out of my gut. Took a breath. And where the bed was in the room, that we always kept the window cracked, and the mountain air was blowing through that little crack in the window. And I took a breath in, and that cool mountain air just blew across my face. And I went, oh, sorry, God. Because He knows my needs. He knows my needs. And the sovereign Father knows these needs because He's watching me, and He's watching you, and He understands your frailties and your weaknesses, and He understands the things that tweak you that don't tweak somebody else, and that's okay. He knows you because He created you, and He wrote all your ways in a book before your time began, and He's reading the book, and yeah, I remember writing that down. Okay, I'll take care of that. And as we as believers have got to begin to start showing a world around us, we have a God who's really in control, period. Because he's sovereign. Because he's sovereign. And we go on. And he knows our needs. Let's drop down to verse 32 and we'll come back to some in between here. He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God's response to me, the sovereign Father delights in giving to me. The sovereign Father delights in giving to me. Verse 32, what's it say there? Your Father's good pleasure. He delights in doing that which is good. He is pleased to do that which is good. You stop and say, well, why isn't he? Because he's not ready yet. He's not ready. Give him time. And it says he delights and he's pleasuring in what he gives to us. And he says, I'm going to give you the kingdom. Now, I love what Paul wrote about the kingdom in Romans 14 and verse 17. And Paul said this, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. He says, I want to give you the kingdom. And he says to us at this very moment, I want to give you my righteousness. You know what? That's why we need to be repentant in a nation. We're not a righteous nation anymore. But not only does he stop and say that, what's causing you to worry? Oh man, I'm stressed out about this or that or the other thing. He said, I want to give you my peace. And he says, I want to give you my joy. And when I do that, I smile. Now, so often we are like little kids. Oh, wow, pick up that gift, put it down. I want to go to the next one. Pick up, oh, put that one down. And we go gift after gift after gift, and we pick them up and put them down, pick them up and put them down, and we stopped and we missed the peace, and we stopped and we missed the joy. And he tells his disciples, I delight to give you peace. I delight to give you joy. I delight to give you my righteousness. And so he's talking to him in a situation, the sovereign Father now, a father who loves his children. How are we reflecting to the world around us what our sovereign Father is doing for us? If my kids, when they were little, were walking around all the time and they had these long faces and they had these dark circles under their eyes and they're stopping and thinking, everybody begins to say, what's going on in that home there? What's that dad up to? And they were never smiling and they were never happy and they were never playing. Everybody looking at this, you know, everybody nowadays. You know, when I drove bus years ago, you know, you see something and you suspect something and you don't report it, you get in trouble. And you stop and you watch the kids getting on and off the bus and you wonder what's going on in their homes and what's going on in their backgrounds. And my wife was listening yesterday and a neighbor's next door to us and we went, oh man, that poor little boy. And the way his mama was talking to him. And what about us though? And how are we running around, our heads down and in fear and in trepidation? What's that say about our Father who delights in us? We got to come back and we got to look at our Father again and we got to think about it. But you know, we stop and say, well, it's not happening. Well, he takes it and he asks a couple questions here. And so now all of a sudden we got my response towards God. My response towards God. Number one, verse 28 says, do I really believe him? What's verse 28 say? If then God so clothes the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And the question is this, do I really, really believe him? We say it, and as Christians, we have to say it. Because if we don't say it, wow, what's wrong with you? You know, and all of a sudden we get our spiritual noses up in the air and out of kink and out of joint and everything else. Let's get honest with one another. And he says this to me, and he says it to you, and I said, well, the sovereign God, but God says, okay, I will do my part, but what do you really see and think about me? Do you really believe me? Faith. Do you really trust me? Faith. And he asks us those questions. And he puts it in front of our face, and we stop and we say, well, yeah, I trust God. And all of a sudden we've got this knot in the gut, and it's twisted up, and we stop and we think this and we think that and we think the other thing. Wait a minute, does God have this nation in his hands? Yep. Do I really believe that? Do I really trust that? If you got a knot in your stomach, you don't. Your face may say it. Your gut tells you it's not true. And that's what he says. Does he have our governor in his control? Yes. But how can you? Your face may say it, but your gut tells you you're lying. Do I really believe him? Number two. Sorry about that. They all came up together. Am I really at peace with him? Where I find it, verse 29. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. Now, your Bible, some of them have the word anxious and ideas of that sort there. But the key is this. It's the idea of to be lifted up and to be thrown down and to be lifted up and to be tossed around. The word there carries the idea of an up and a down type thing. And it's the idea that we see of being up and down and all around and tossed and back and forth and one moment here and one moment there and all over the place. And he says, don't be of a doubtful mind. Am I really at peace with him? That's the thought. Really? Well, among Christians, I've got to look that way. But what's your insides telling you? Do I believe he's sovereign? And he's got it. And he's going to take care of it. And I'm going to trust that. Or am I up and down thinking, oh, Lord, yes. Oh, sorry, Lord. Oh, man, God, did you see? And this doubtfulness, this up and down. James tells us, you want wisdom? Ask in faith, not doubting. Not like a wave of the sea driven by the winds and tossed and up and down and back and forth. And when we see this here, our response, why is God not? Because maybe we're not at peace with him. Now, he does all things good, even when we blow it sometimes. But let's not presume upon God. Am I really at peace with him? In verse 31, do I really seek him? Well, that's why I'm sitting in church today. Seek ye first, not first, just seek ye. Matthew 6 tells us seek ye first, of most importance. But the whole thought is seek. It means to be presently, constantly, always seeking. Always seeking. And that's the thought that's there. And then we stop and say, we have to ask ourselves a question. Am I really seeking him? Is he paramount in my life? Of greatest importance in my life? A constant thought in my mind. A constant desire of my heart. Or I want God to do the candy thing, pull the lever, give me the candy bar. All right, God, I got the rest of it. See you later. No. Am I constantly, always seeking him? He asks us that question. Well, yeah. That's why I'm here today. No. You could be here today and your mind could be whoosh. You're not here. You're not seeking. Your mind is not enraptured by the thought of who your God, who my God and Father is. You're thinking November 3rd. You're not here. You're not seeking him. And he asked his disciples, seek ye my kingdom, and I'll take care of the rest. He says this, am I really thinking about him? Verse 23 here. Let's go back there. 33, excuse me. No, 23. I'm sorry. No, 32. Man, that's dyslexic here today. Okay, 32. Fear not. Let's stop there. Fear not. What do I mean by fear not? Say, well, he says in this tense, fear not. But it's interesting here, and there's sometimes about the language of the original language, and I hope I don't bore you with that sometimes, but this is in a voice that says, you stop fearing. You stop fearing. Being agitated in my mind. There comes a point in time that sometimes we have to make the choice that stops and it says, no more. If we continue and God says, I want to give you my peace, I want to give you my kingdom, I delight, would you please let me give you my joy? Nope, 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 things are too bad right now, God. I got to hang on to this for a bit. He says, fear not. He says, you stop fearing. What happens in our minds, and I've said this before, and unless you're something special, again, you cannot do two things in your mind at the same time. Some people say they can, but generally speaking, one thought is going to take the precedent always in your mind. What are you thinking about? That's what he says, fear not. You stop fearing. But Lord, you just don't understand. I do understand. I'm sovereign. But God, no, I do understand. Are you really thinking about who I am? Are you really thinking about my control? Are you thinking about what really delights me? Are you thinking about what I really know about your situation? But Lord, I'm so scared. I don't know what's going to happen next. I do. That's God. Not me. God knows what's going to happen next. Am I really thinking about him? Sorry about that. That's verse 32. Fear not. You stop fearing. You stop fearing. But Lord, I need your help. Okay, let's work on it together. What are you thinking about? The election's coming. Lord, what are you thinking about? But me. Are you thinking about me? Are you thinking about the sunrise you saw this morning? Are you thinking about what you've been blessed with over the years? Are you thinking about how I have been with you in your other difficult times? But, no, what are you thinking about? You stop fearing. Am I really thinking about him? And that one we can hide from everybody. Because that's the playground right up here. That nobody can get into. And he asked his disciples, what are you thinking about? Am I really willing to sacrifice for him? Verse 33. Now he says to the disciples at this point, they're talking about covetousness, and they come back and he says, now sell what you have, give it alms, provide yourselves neither bags which wax old or a treasure, but a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moths corrupt, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now you stop thinking of it, wait a minute, and what, sell it all? No, he didn't say all. I think it's important. Remember the rich young ruler when he came to Jesus said, I did all these things, and I followed the law, and I did this, and I did this, and this, and the Lord knew he had a lot of money. He says, go sell all that you had, give to the poor, and follow me. Oh, and he went away. Oh, I can't do that. God's not asking us to do that right there. He's just saying, go sell something, and if somebody has a need, meet their need. You become my sovereign hands. You become the one who's willing to sacrifice for me to help someone else. And he asks us that question. He asks his disciples, he says, go ahead and sell and give. Because he says, there you'll show me for real where your mind is. Somebody said the other day, we are the only land that is now putting up units that make a lot of money for somebody to store our extra junk in. They're called storage units. Because we have too much stuff. So the Lord says, sell some of it. I got some people out there that have needs. Ooh, but I might need that 10 years down the road. Guys, check your garage. Okay? I know I've got a place for that. You know, you watch the hoarders buried alive. Wow. That's scary. But you know, he says, then go sell. He says, guys, don't worry about it. I've got this. I'm the one in control. You got extra? He didn't say go sell all. He says, sell what you have. If you've got something that I'm not using anymore, I don't need it anymore, he says, go sell it, get rid of it, and give it to somebody who has a real need. He says, there, you're going to show the rest of the world, and you're going to show me where your heart really is. Where your heart really is. Don't you love garage sales? No. Maybe yes. You know, I like it when my wife every now and again goes, honey, I got to get rid of some stuff. That's my stuff. Got to get rid of it. When's the last time you used that? But you never know, honey, I've got to fix something with that. No. He says, sell it. Sometimes, and you know, within reason, we understand what he's saying, but he doesn't say sell all. He doesn't say sell all. He says, just sell if you have it, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Am I really willing to sacrifice for him? Well, God, you've got to meet my needs. God says, maybe your needs could be met by what's in your garage. Maybe your needs could be met by what's in your attic. Maybe your needs could be met with what's in your basement. Can you sell it? Oh, wow. Am I willing to sacrifice? That's what he asked his disciples. That's what he asked his disciples. And so he takes them from covetousness to contentment by asking all those questions. And then the big idea today is this. Contentment arises when I consider my Creator. Contentment arises when I consider my Creator. Stop worrying about COVID, about riots. It's happening, folks. It is. It's sad that it's happening, but it is happening. And God knows it. Elections, Supreme Court justices, you name it, folks. We were kind to one another this morning when I said, what's causing you to worry? What's causing you to worry? He says, consider me. Because I'm sovereign, and I will do what I want to do when I want to do it. And you just be my creature and you come with me. And this morning, as I come back, and it was good to have the news turned completely off. But we got to come back and we have to live in this world. What kind of lives are we living before a world that does not have the sovereign Father as their Father? And what are we showing them? And so, Father, this day we come before you and we thank you that you are such a loving, giving, caring, controlling God. And so often, Father, in our own lives, we get upset, we get anxious, we begin to worry. because it's not happening the way we think it ought. Father, I just thank you that you remind us from your word, the Heavenly Father that we have. And there is nothing that is happening right now that he doesn't see, he doesn't hear, he doesn't feel, he doesn't understand. And Lord, whether you're doing that to purify your church, to strengthen your Christians, to bring judgment upon our land, we don't know. But Father, we know and we trust that this is your plan. And so help us to be your children that love their Father. And live that before a world so that the world can see there is peace, there is righteousness, there is joy when we come into God's presence and into his home and into his house and we worship him and we adore him and we love him. Help us, Lord, in all of our lives right now. We are concerned. But may we have a sense, a new sense of your control. And may we live that with joy and hope and peace. Father, if there's someone in this room this morning that doesn't know you in that way yet, I pray that they will, before they leave this door, understand who that is and come and talk to us so they understand clearly the God that thinks they are valuable. No one's looking around. Do you know him that way? You say, I don't, but I want to. You slip your hand up and put it down very quickly. So, Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for allowing us to be here to worship you this day. In our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen.